Now, may I just read? See. Their temptation, that is, they murmured and they said, is God among us or not? We can come to that, yes. And then, verse 8 of chapter 17 of Exodus, then, that little word, then, remember? Where two of you agree on anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three have gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst. And what follows is, then said Peter, but what, Lord, if the old man displays himself? And then the Lord, in the parable, he shows what immense debt has been forgiven. 10,000 talents. Each talent, 750 ounces of silver. Each ounce of silver, 8 pence, 8 days of work. I haven't got a calculator, but it's 60 million. Days of hard work, 60 million pence. Think of it. The Lord says in Ephesians 4 again, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. So let's remember that word, then came Amalek and fought. So the flesh, yes, there's the struggle. But we know the one who tasted death. We know the one who destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And delivered us, who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. We know the one who said and who is addressing us. Revelation 3, is it? He that overcometh, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne. The overcomer is on our side, beloved. And there, let me just read the verses. Verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, there's a Joshua here amongst us, yes, perhaps more than one. All young men, let me just address you as Joshuas. And if there's a feminine present, the sisters as well. Choose us out, men, and go out, fight with Amalek. We stand together in this too. We have an influence either for good or for bad. The old nature would rub off, or the new nature would overrule in the power of the Spirit of God, who is ever with us. And Ephesians 4 is 5. Strengthened with might. Chapter 3. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Think. And then we are directed to the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we need. Have you got fear that cannot possibly be? I'm not sufficient for this. Turn to 1 John 4:17-16, and it says, perfect love, our Lord Jesus, casts out fear, for fear hath torment. One thing God never wants us to have, that is torment. You're free, remember? Free indeed. So, let me just read here. 10. So Joshua did that, or did as Moses said, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. The old nature was dominated and put in the place of death. And when he laid down his hand, our Lord Jesus, ever living to make intercession for us. That's the victory. Moses' hands were heavy. Oh, I didn't finish that. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. May I just close with, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee for the battle. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. May God touch us with these words from his word, so that we are not discouraged, no, we're encouraged. Remember, I'm thinking of the word, can't think of it right now. Changes something that is hopeless to hope. Disappointments are his appointments to draw us. Blessed be his name.
Amen. You probably find it very interesting that if you read the book of Acts, you realize that the Apostle Paul is always and ever preaching the gospel to the sinners, and everywhere he went. When you come to the book of Romans, you find that the Apostle Paul is teaching the gospel to the believers. So in the epistle of Romans, we have the teaching of the gospel. After all, in chapter 1, we read that it is the gospel of God concerning his Son. So the gospel, which is the good news, it is really concerning the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. It is in connection with all the plans that God has concerning his Son. And you and I come into the privilege and the blessing of enjoying and taking part with him. But not only that, it is the power of God, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. And that is what he does by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Romans epistle. He teaches us how the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Because salvation is not only the salvation from the penalty of sin, which we read in the first portion in the Romans epistle, but it's also the salvation from the power of sin, which we have before us in chapter 6. I want to add to the division that we have heard early into the introduction, and I trust the saints of God want us to concentrate on that chapter. You could divide the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans into 2 sections. First one is from chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 5, verse 11. And that is one portion. In that portion, you find that the blood is mentioned many, many times. It's a prominent word that is mentioned there. That is the blood of the Lord Jesus. When you come from chapter 5, verse 12, to chapter 8, you find another prominent word. You don't find the word blood in there as much, but you find the cross. What is the apostle, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is teaching us is this. The problem that we have in the first section is sins, S-I-N-S, the fruits. And to deal with the fruits of sins, we need the fruit, which is sins. We need the blood of the Lord Jesus. God does not forgive sin. He forgives sins. But when it comes to sin, he deals with it in a different way. Sins are the fruit. And what we find in the first 5 chapters is how God deals with the fruits. All the action that you have seen, all the bad things that comes out from you, you realize that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of it. He takes care of every sin. That is God's answer to the fruit, is the blood. But then you realize that after you get saved, and as we have heard in the earlier remark, well, you think everything will go well. And then all of a sudden you realize that you still have a problem. You wanted to do things that you know they're wrong. That is the root. The root of the problem is not sins anymore, it's sin. And as I have said, God does not forgive sins. He deals with sin. He deals with the root of the problem. And that is part of the gospel. Not only that God dealt with the fruit, I'll be happy. My sins are forgiven. I am on my way to heaven, and I'm going to live miserable here. God doesn't work this way. That might be good for me. It's not good for him. When God does a work, it's a complete work. It's a wonderful work. And we, through the teaching of the Word of God, understand God's plan, then we could live accordingly. So when we come to the question of sin, the answer that God has is the cross. And there, deal with the root of the problem. And that's why we have the verses about our old man crucified, that we've been baptized and being buried. This is not dealing with fruits here. This is dealing with the root of the problem itself. And in chapter 6, he explained to us from God's side what exactly have taken place and how our positionally have been, all of these questions have been taken care of. And as we have heard, when we come to chapter 7, we realize there is one more lesson that we still have to learn. It's one thing to know, and it's the other thing to experiment and to live what you actually know.